At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Rex Huerman.
Otherwise, affectionately known as the Gilgo Beach Killer or the Long Island Serial Killer, allegedly. Lots of new information coming out. More so, I think, to scratch our itch of what the hell was going on in that house, because that's what we've been speculating on since he was arrested. Of course, his house, Massapequa Park in New York, looked kind of like a hoarder's house, to put it lightly. Kind of surprising for a guy that's somewhat a skilled and respected architect in New York City to be living in such a situation. It was kind of a little bit incongruent. But we also wondered, okay, if he's doing all these things and he has this weird basement that has all sorts of weaponry in it and allegedly child porn and all sorts of horrible things, a manifesto on how to kill people. What's going on there? What's going on with the wife, Asa? They've been married for decades. What about the kids? Did they know what was going on? And the new Peacock documentary that came out that was produced by G-Unit Productions, yes, G-Unit, 50 Cent, it dives into this, and it goes into great detail. We hear Asa in her own words. We hear the daughter. We hear the son. We hear a lot of people come out and discuss what life was like with Rex. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program. There's a lot to unpack here with Rex and what was known and what was not known. I'm going to start with Asa, because Asa is one that she filed for divorce early on. They did get the divorce. But what we learn in this documentary is that it was more so to protect assets than it was to get away from the man that most of us believe is a horrific serial killer. What's your thoughts on how that all worked out and where she's sitting today, still believing that this man is innocent and he was her hero earlier in life?
Yeah, we do not want to face anything that is incongruent with our self-image, do we? Mm-hmm. She is a great example that she's been groomed in this lifestyle with him. And it's been part of her life for so long, and he's been part of it. It's part of who she is. It's part of her validation of self. And to deny any of that would be obviously bone crushing to her brain. It would break her brain, I think, to admit that he is actually potentially the killer, because she idolizes him. And what's interesting about this entire thing is that look who she's placing more important than anything else. Him above children, above everything. So it's he did a good job brainwashing her. There's no doubt.
And they had met when she was young. I believe 17, 18, somewhere around there. She had a very traumatic upbringing. She is a rape survivor. There was abuse. There was all sorts of things that she had gone through where she basically she needed help. Either she was going to pull herself up by the bootstraps and get a life going for herself, or someone was going to come in and save her. In this case, Rex was the savior. And I say that in air quotes. Yes. Brought her in.
Oh, he came in. I don't know if he came in.
He came in. I mean, to her reality, the world, the trauma that she had been living in, he took her out of that. And allegedly, he didn't cause her more trauma. And maybe he did not. Maybe, you know, it was a fairly plain Jane relationship and there really wasn't a whole lot going on involving her and this other life that he's allegedly led. And then all these years later, it seems that when she's on vacation is when he's out doing these things. There's a lot of weirdness here. One of the things that I found odd is the normalizing of rather bizarre behavior. One of them being, when we're on family vacations, he's out doing this. Well, why isn't he on the family vacation? That's not a family vacation. It's kind of bizarre when just mom is taking the kids on all the family vacations and dad is always back home and we don't know what the hell's going on. Now, certainly the dynamics of work and all that do play a factor into this. But that seemed to be what happened all of the time. There was this separation. There was places in the house that no one was allowed to go into. And that was just completely normal. It wasn't just this is off limits, it's dad's space, he doesn't like you in there. It was like, you don't go in there. There was a lot of normalizing weird behavior in this house. Yeah. Do you believe that?
100%. So he rescued her from an unhealthy life of trauma and then renormalized her into his life of secrecy and lack of transparency. Mm-hmm. And so that became her new normal, which was better than her old normal. So it, in her mind, it's a step up. He saved her. That's why he's a hero to her. But he normalized all these unhealthy behaviors of lack of transparency. Remember, I keep saying it repeatedly, open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability are the three pillars of trust that I believe we all need if we're going to have healthy relationships. And that lack of transparency, secret places, times with unknown things going on, he normalized that at a very, very young age in their relationship, so it became part of the norm. And so when they have kids, that's also then part of the norm. It's just the way mom and dad do things. It's the way our family does things. It becomes part of the little insulated family normal. So doesn't surprise me at all.
Do people like this, it probably depends on the human, but someone like Rex Heuermann, who essentially groomed Asa and the family to believe one thing one way. This is how it works, and this is how we're going to do things. Are they doing that on a conscious level? Is it, I better make them think this so I can get away with that? Or is it just who they are? They have to present things this way because this is just how they operate. It's not necessarily nefarious how a healthy individual have to sit down and go, how am I going to convince someone of this? An unhealthy individual would just naturally be able to do that because it's just, well, this is how life has always worked out for me. It's just, it's how my motor runs, if you will.
So I'm going to liken this to alcoholism, believe it or not.
Okay.
In the sense that what happens is with someone that's a deep-rooted severe alcoholic, their entire existence revolves around thinking about alcohol and how to hide that amount of drinking they're doing from everyone in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily a conscious thought. It just becomes who they are of how to duck out of here, how to have a private stash here, how to have a behavior here that's hidden from over here. And so it becomes part of their entire existence about how to live a secret life within a life that's exposed to everyone. And so it's not necessarily a conscious thought. It's a habit of secrecy. It's a habit of betrayal of hiding themselves, even from themselves, but definitely from the world around them, so they can put up a false front, so they can look normal to the world around them and healthy to the world around them, as they have a subculture in their own mind that is, it's thoughtful, but at the same time, it's habit.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a big differential between a healthy person and a very broken person.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, the prism, the operational, it's a different operating system. If we're all operating on Windows 95, which I feel like most of us still are.
I've heard that in a long time.
Still get the blue screen of death every now and then.
Yes,
and it's
the blue,
like,
screen of death. Control-Alt-Delete. Exactly. Just unplug the thing.
Like, let's reset.
Think about it. Everything I just said, too, is a total lack of transparency and openness. You know, and so I always, you know, with all the behavioral skills, tools, and techniques we talk about, and I train people all the time on, they always say, well, isn't that just manipulation? I said, the greatest counter to any sort of manipulation or even influence or persuasion where there's covertness involved is just be transparent. Mm-hmm. Transparency is the greatest mitigator for unhealthy behaviors. Because if you're unwilling to be transparent with your behavior, maybe you really should second guess the behavior you're having, because that will keep it from being unhealthy. Because once you start going down the unhealthy path and becomes part of your normal, mm-hmm. it becomes easier the next time, and then easier the next time. And then you get into a pattern of unhealthy behavior, and what you're now doing is you're normalizing that behavior to that environment. You're grooming your environment to your unhealthy behavior. Mm-hmm. If you just started with transparency at the beginning, you avoid it at all. You avoid it entirely. I know I'm pie in the sky, Robin, very optimistic, rose-colored glasses, but hey, I got reps doing this shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way it works.
No, it very much is. And Rex operated a certain way. I think one of the most shocking parts about the Rex Heerman case, the Gilgo Beach killer, Lisk, whatever you want to call it, is when we're talking about baseline of a human being, you know, a lot of us just go to ourselves. So how would I think about this? It's just kind of our natural reaction. And you got to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. We're talking about Rex Heerman and his baseline. What kind of a baseline is it for somebody who completes the documents the way that he did? The documentation in his basement, his kind of manifesto or to-do list, if you will. It went into such great detail about what he needed to do, and just weird, like, little reminders for himself. And the fact that someone is capable of writing this stuff down and then going back to life and going to work as the architect and going out to Applebee's with the family or whatever the hell he was doing. These are some of the things that were on his planning list. Get sleep before hunt. Have story set. Check issues to avoid detection. His inventory, cutting tools, acid, hair nets, tarps, heavy rope. Things to remember. Hit harder. Consider a hit to the face or a neck for takedown. Post-murder body preparation. Remove head and hands. Remove trace DNA and remove ID marks like tattoos. It goes on and on. And he's just like, typing this down in Word. And he had this list for like 20 years. What is going on with this human being that they can do this and go, yep, this is my to-do list. And then, like I said, go back and live normal life. That's a weird baseline of life right there.
It's actually not surprising to me, because this is what stalkers will do as well. Mm-hmm. They actually keep detailed notes on what they're doing, because this is part of his, to me, this is part of his fantasy. It's not just how he positioned bodies. What serial killers do is they live out these fantasies. They position bodies. They keep trophies. They do certain things to live out the fantasy in their mind again. And so part of his fantasization is actually his note-taking. So he can think about this. So a lot of these bodies, If he's actually the murderer, whoever did it, were positioned and put in places that he can think about them and maybe even drive by or see them, but not frequently. And so if you're trying to relive those moments and try to get that same rush that you had in those moments and thinking about those bodies and what he did to them, one way he's going to do that is to be able to look at his notes and remember it and reminisce about it and think about it. And also, he's a detail-oriented guy. He's got life reps of doing this, and so he's probably perfected his craft. He wants to get better each time. You know, he's an architect, which is an engineering type of thing, and so they're detail and process-oriented people. So he's very likely a very process, detailed-oriented individual. So he actually took a lot of notes on it. You know, it still hasn't gone to trial yet, but it just reminds me of the Koberger case as well. Here's a detailed school guy just taking a lot of notes, doing a lot of research and doing all these things to execute a plan. And so Heerman doing something similar like this too. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. Especially since we see he's got a household of trophies. He's a hoarder. He collects shit so he can look at it.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing. Why do you write things down? So you can reminisce and look at it again and improve upon it. And just, I mean, can you imagine? So again, we put our reverse context on. So here I am. I'm a psychopath and I want to kill people for a living because it makes me feel good and I get the adrenaline rush I want from it. One way I can sit around in my I love me room of guns and body parts is to look at my notes I took to do it every time. Oh, what a great time that was. See what I mean? It kind of fits that whole behavior pattern of his life of just nutso. It's my scientific nutso. Term of the day, nutso.
The very scientific word of nutso.
Hey, Robin the behaviorist. Yeah, yes, he's nutso.
It's what the hell is going through his mind when he's doing that, though? When he's sitting down in his little den and lair.
Oh, he's having a good time. Think about it. He's having a great time planning this out. He's like, oh, man. Think about it. So again, I don't think these are like spur of the moment vacations. His wife says, Asa says, hey, you know, we haven't had a vacation in mind in a while. You mind if I take the kids? He's probably saying, hey, I saved us some money. You guys really deserve a vacation. So I'm planning this whole thing out for you. A great thing. And so in his mind, he's got part of his excitement is planning a vacation for his family. Cause part of that planning process is this planning process. He's a planner. And so he's just sitting around slowly, methodically taking his notes. I plan them to get out on here. On this date, I'm going to do this. I mean, he's probably going slow and reveling in every moment of this entire planning process. And then afterwards, what is he doing afterwards? Like some people take photos on vacations. He's going back and looking at his notes. Again, a lot of conjecture, a lot of sure. You know, me, Robin, leaping way out there on this. But if we're trying to understand what could possibly be the reason why someone has behavior, makes sense, doesn't it?
That's a great question that would have been really lovely to have asked in that documentary. Who planned the vacations?
Yeah.
How did that go down? Was there a lot of planning involved? Who did it? Who paid for it? Who was going, hey, just like you said, because then his family is looking at him like, oh, he's the martyr. He's sacrificing his time. He wants us to go have fun, even though he can't because his work is so taxing. And they come back going, thank you for that vacation, Dad. I wish you could have come. My God, it would have been great if you were here. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. It's work. Gotta.
My guess is the hero planned the vacation.
Yep.
That's why, and you know, people use words with a lot of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Her using the word hero says it all. He's a hero to her because in her mind, what do heroes do? Heroes sacrifice themselves for us, for mm-hmm. others. And so in her mind, what behavior fits that? All these things that I just described is the behaviors of a hero.
He convinced her that he was the hero all those years over and mm-hmm. over and over. It is a weird way to describe your significant other, especially 20-some years after he rescued her or whatever. It being a hero is a weird one. I mean, it's like, I admire them. I love them. I trust them. They are a great human being. Just
what you need for someone to cover your tracks though. Too,
yes.
Isn't
but
it?
If you are the hero, that's a new level. That's like, you don't question the hero. And that seems to be kind of the home that they lived in. They didn't question what he was doing down there. They just, you know, he's as good of a guy.
That's the hero's lair. That's where the hero goes to a secret bat cave.
Yeah. Except he's
no
looking
kidding.
At.
I mean, just think about it. I mean, you know, it's anytime people try to make these things overcomplicated, you're really working too hard at it. This guy is a simple animal. This simple mm-hmm. animal had his den, you know, as a predator wolf.
Mm-hmm.
He had his sheep around him protecting him. To them, he's the hero.
Were you surprised by, because we see technology obviously used in a lot of cases these days. This guy seemed to be pretty good at using it and evading being captured. He didn't do a lot of the dumb things that we see in so many cases with the, I mean, we right. did find weird Google searches after the fact on his basement computer, but a lot of it, you know, it wasn't out there in the open. He used the burner phones. He, didn't take a bunch of selfies. There was a lot of things out there that he evaded with the technology that he had used. Were you surprised by that?
Yes and no. So again, he's got years and years and years of reps of doing this. So he got very skilled at his stuff. But you know what it reminds me of is that, so he created a very safe place in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, you know, he basically had his wife as helped him create this buffer zone that helped him stay very rudimentary and very basic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that comes to my mind is believe it or not, in the spy world of tradecraft, people will always think that tradecraft is all about high-speed electronics and data and you know, thumb drives or even, you know, now digital transfers and all these things now. But, you know, the safest type of trade craft to use is the same trade craft they use for thousands of years, a fake rock with some, you know, microfiche in it, or a simple, you know, message written on a piece of paper in a fake rock someplace, or a sticker on the back of a road sign that says a dead drop's been loaded, you know, so no electronics, no anything, and it accomplishes the same things as all these other things. So here's a guy living in his lair as Batman, you know, the hero of his wife, you know, doing a lot of very basic things, using things and technologies that have been used for years and years. And so, but he did try to keep pace with technology. But again, I think it outpaces his skill set.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was interesting. BTK's daughter, Carrie, was on this show, the documentary that's on Peacock right now, talking about what life was like with Dennis Rader in Park City, Kansas, just a suburb of Wichita. I was there last weekend, and in morbid dad-daughter moments, we drove by BTK's lot, or what was left of it.
Oh, we got to do a show on your daughter now.
Yeah.
She didn't live with you.
It's like, hey, we're in Wichita. What should we do? Let's go look at our old house, and then let's drive by where BTK lived, because we were actually very close to each other in that vicinity. I was not there when he was free, but right. Another funny fact, Coffendaffer, Jennifer Coffendaffer, who's on this show, also from Park City. So she grew up around the city there as well. I texted her a picture of the Park City sign when I was there, just like, look where we are. But anyway, BTK. Obviously terrorized Wichita for many, many years. And the family was completely had no idea what was going on. Dennis Rader was a dog catcher, basically, for the city of Park City, worked maintenance and some other things, had been a police officer, a volunteer police officer way earlier. But again, evaded capture for all of those years. What kind of patterns do you see here that Rex employed, similar to what BTK did, to live the family man life? Nobody is the wiser for all of those years. You know, between the two stalking, very vicious, seemingly without conscience individuals.
So on a side of being serial killers and the psychopathy that goes behind that, and the reasons why they do it, you know, it looks very similar, very identical. I mean, the reason why they do these things for the fantasization and all that seems exactly the same. Well, very similar anyway. What was interesting was BTK, he had things he did to quell that urge in him in the in-between times so he could live that normal life. And what I'm seeing Huerman do is something very similar in the fact that he had a professional life that he's maintained the show of. But what he did was, in the in-between time, he's able to shuffle his family out. And also, you know, we'll see when it goes to trial. You know, they got the investigative reporter and the independent was the – who's that lawyer that's working on behalf of some of the victims? He keeps coming out with some of his background.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
He wears the hat.
Yeah. But he keeps coming out with these interesting potential sex parties, wife swapping. I mean, there's a lot of weirdness that I think is going to come out in the trial. And so I think that Huerman was doing a lot of, say, regular abnormal things, maybe with prostitutes and things like that, that kind of kept him satiated in between the serial killing. And I just think BTK was doing something a little healthier. But again, that same kind of brain rush he needed to kind of give himself, I'm trying to search for the words, you know, to keep him satiated in between the killings. Because they both had to do something. Otherwise, you know, they're going to be discovered. So they had to space them out. And so they're both doing different things to space out their need to kill.
Yeah. John Ray, by the way, is
John Ray. That's it. John Ray.
John Ray, the guy with the hat. And and we've had him on the show before, too, talking about, you know, the things that he's brought to light.
There's some craziness in there, isn't there?
Oh, my God. He's an interesting dude. I mean, what kind of I believe there's a lot of good things he has brought to light in this case.
Yeah.
But there has been some things that were like, okay, you're going a bit. Last year, he brought out Victoria, the daughter of Rex Huerman, her artwork, right, saying, "Look, this is the work of a psychopath," or whatever the hell he said. It's like, come on. I mean, leave her alone. She's been traumatized. Yeah. And yeah, if that's your dad and this is the normal and it's a pretty dark, you know, hoarder home and this is the atmosphere, of course she's into dark things.
I thought, you know, the things that I was mostly referencing, if it continued, was kind of what he'd uncovered or thought he or claiming to uncover was him and Asa's like sex parties or whatever they're doing earlier in life. And maybe the police chief out there. So it's all that kind of stuff.
And
it's that kind of stuff is what I'm referring to as the things that I think was placating in between the killings.
And what I wonder, too, about Asa is, you know, he normalized all of this behavior so well that she still can't see it to this day.
Right.
I do wonder, and I'm not accused, I have no idea. I'm wondering, was she involved in some of the weird sexual stuff that he was into? Not killing, not murder, but was that normalized and she went along with it because, well, Rex, her hero, says, go sleep with this guy. And I'm not accusing, I don't know. I'm just saying, if they're doing wife swapping, if they're doing all this sort of stuff and the weird lifestyle that they were living, or he was living allegedly, you know, how much of that did she have to be involved with it and was kind of bamboozled into because Rex normalized it? Obviously, it would be something shameful you wouldn't want to be talking about on camera. But I do wonder. I do wonder how much of that was normalized. And I do wonder how many red flags she did see that she still is not seeing, but others, if they were standing next to her, would have said, yeah, that's weird. Considering her daughter, his daughter, is saying, yeah, he's probably the killer. And she's like, no, hero.
Yeah, you know, Ken, when you don't have a loving critic to have that optic outside of that that sphere of influence he had, you don't know.
Yeah.
And again, I'll go back to, I'm using too many alcoholism references today on this one, but what someone in a full-fledged addiction with alcohol will do to hide the behavior of alcoholism, they'll actually drink beer. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll go out and they'll drink beer, they'll mix their spouse or the family members, you know, mix drinks and whatnot, and that'll be their show as they're actually secretly, you know, quadrupling that amount behind the scenes. And so the reference here being with Asa, you know, maybe we're doing these abnormal sex things. We normalize this behavior. So I'm actually kind of hiding in plain sight the fact that I'm doing the same thing back here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to kill him. I'm just going to hide that part from you. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he's normalizing this abnormal sexual life, which is always a part of serial killers. And he's normalizing that in front of his wife, who thinks of him as a hero, who's actually providing a lot of cover for him, so he can actually do the same, but more behind the scenes that she's unaware of.
Let's end on this. To the audience out there that may be listening and may be going and saying, there's some weird stuff going on with my spouse. Now, the likelihood that you have a Rex Heureman with you is very low. So don't expect, because you're seeing some similarities here, that you have someone that's killing sex workers and decapitating them in the woods. But on a smaller scale, and maybe there are some extreme ones out there, what would you want, you know, a listener to understand, male or female? Typically in this sort of a case, it was, you know, what it was. But about understanding and recognizing potentially dangerous signs in a relationship, the ones that Asa was unaware of, did not even see, for them to look out for to maybe raise a little awareness, get those spidey senses up and going, yes, you are my hero, but this is kind of weird.
The easiest one that people will start rationalizing is a lack of transparency in an aspect of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we first meet someone and, you know, all our endorphins and dopamine is flaring up and we're feeling great and they're being, and we're totally getting engrossed in their lives and our lives are overlapping like this. And we have a lot of transparency about what we're doing and when we're texting or calling or seeing each other throughout the day and throughout the week, you know, and then when you're not and you're saying, how did your week go? Typically people will fill in the gaps and nooks and crannies of what happened when we weren't together, when we weren't communicating. So there's a lot of openness in that communication. That's a sign of a good, healthy relationship. And that when you're displaying mutual curiosity for each other and reciprocated on both ends, and then that should then continue as a relationship develops. You know, you keep finding out what's going on in each other's lives, you know about people in their lives. And so it's enriching, you know, and you're feeling fulfilled and it makes you feel good. But all of a sudden, if you start having some gaps in time that and you have a lack of transparency, or there seems to be avoidance of wanting to get in the granular details of things. Now, granted, there might be reasons for this. You know, like I worked in the world of counterintelligence. There's a lot of things I can't share with my wife because of secrets and classifications and things like that. But I'm very open about the gaps of time, what's going on. I'm going to be doing this operation here. It's going to start here. It's going to start end here. I can't tell you who's necessarily involved, but in other words, I'm being as transparent as possible, then sharing about rules, process, procedures, regulations. So again, I'm offering transparency about all of these things. Very congruent with who I am. The tempo is not changing. My nonverbals aren't changing between what I'm saying and what the emotions I'm feeling towards you, towards my family, towards everything. But if you start having a lack of transparency and deviations from our behaviors with individuals, those are what people call red flags. Mm-hmm. Pay attention, explore those red flags. And if someone's not willing to be transparent with when you feel a red flag is going up and they say, well, you're just being paranoid. Well, now they're putting it on you. They're victim blaming you. And you might be paranoid, but at the same time, there's a behavior that's causing you to feel that way. And if you need to explore yourself and your own trauma responses to things, great. But at the same time, though, pay attention to them. There's something that they might be doing that is triggering that response you're having. And normally, the first thing that happens is that lack of transparency.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home, perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.